Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're working our way through Psalm 119, and some people say, will we get through it? Yes, we will. Matter of fact, we're over halfway, and it's kind of interesting. We'll read the verses that we have today. We're going to start with verse 97, read through verse 120. You say, that's a long ways, and it's a beautiful time we're going to go through. You know, the responding verses will be on the screen behind me. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and for your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand.
I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing, are the rejoicing of my heart. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God.
Amen.
Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. We're 120 together. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would really speak to our hearts today from your word. Lord, there's so many things that we could, so many directions we could go with. Today, we want to focus in on the one thing that is said about the whole idea about double-mindedness. Today, Lord, we're going to learn some things about why we're pulled in two different directions and how we can be center-focused on your word. Holy Spirit, teach us today. Deliver us today from the double-minded spirit that dominates our culture and our age. We give you all glory. We give you all honor and praise. For we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I've already tipped my hand of where I'm going with this today. There was a lot of things we read in Scripture, but there's one thing that just stuck out to me. I said, well, there's so many directions I could go, but I want to just approach one thing today, the peril of double-mindedness. You say, what's that all about? Some people say, I'm really not afflicted with that. Well, let's look at it a couple of ways. As we're forging our way through Psalm 119, there are some truths that are impacting that we dare not make them a principle or a priority as we that we dare not make them a priority or in our study of the word. The modern day culture has defined truth to encompass what is comfortable, commonly agreed upon, with a sliding scale of criterion or relevance, with further consideration given to circumstances that we may or may not deem relevant. In other words, we're circumstantial people. Sometimes it's good, it's not good to do good. It's good to do bad and bad to do good. It's just crazy stuff that people come up with. Well, here's the other part about that. This is a total contradictory to the statutes of the Hebrew word chiquitim or chiquim, which is a word of God, which is defined this way: the binding force of what is spoken. In other words, there's no two ways about it. God meant what he said, and he meant it when he said it. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to jump right into this because I know we've used a lot of my time normally, but you're not going to get no cookies anyway, so I'm going to take five minutes of cookie time anyway. Skip your coffee, baby. You didn't take that much for water, okay? Number one, have distractions and multiple options and choices available led you to embrace double-mindedness as a personal struggle? One of the most frustrating things for people right now is there's so many options. I could go here, I could go there. And the culture or advertisers have ways of capturing you where you can't even make up your mind. The internet is filled with all kinds of things. You want to find something, just Google it, and you'll say, oh, I don't even know what decision to make. Then you pick out the two, and then you can't quite figure all that, and you go back and forth. I'm going to help you with that today. The Holy Spirit is through his word. Second thing, do you find yourself choosing between two things knowing that neither one would result in peaceful or godly resolution? We used to call it the lesser of two evils. What makes it good to do evil? What's the lesser of two evils? Did you forget about evil? And unfortunately, that's what double-mindedness really is all about. You say, well, I thought there's one good and one bad. Not necessarily. But let's get a little bit further into it, and maybe we can examine it and get some healing. Number three, have you discovered that obedience to the word of God will result in peace for your soul in spite of what your flesh may desire? It's the peace that they were talking about a few moments ago. The peace in your soul that surpasses any understanding. Let's jump right into it. We'll go back to that verse. We'll find in Psalm 119, verse 113. Let's read it once again. It says, but I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So who's saying this? Well, sounds like somebody who had an experience with double-mindedness. And I don't think any of us would really want to make our best friend a person who's double-minded. But you do. And here's the courting thing about that, because here's the principles that we have to really face. When we entertain any voice that is contrary to the word of God, we can be assured that sin will be the final result. You didn't start out that way, but that's where it ended up. Well, what does that mean? A couple of things I think we need to draw from this. The initial sin that man committed was centered around confusion regarding what was expected or required of him. You say, well, confusion? What was it confusing about? The Bible says, do not eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. Anybody confused about that? Ever told your child not to do a particular thing? Don't touch this. Don't go out of the yard. You know, all those various things. And then all of a sudden, there's something like, well, if I stay in the yard, I can't go next door to my friend's house. And if she's not looking out the window, I can probably make it and be back here before she even knows I was gone. I know you weren't that stupid. It's so tempting. But upon that hung the whole entire universe of people afterwards, because God says, the day that you do this, you're going to die. And somehow that didn't keep us from doing what we knew we should not have done. Amen. I want to tell you, the fear of death is really isn't as much as we think, oh, I'm going to die. We take risks all the time. Well, it's going to take a little while. We'll get in the message. Some of you are still coasting on that one. I'll give you a moment. The moment we create a pathway to options that were never a part of the original agreement, we're a direct target for sin to take over. We create a pathway to options. I can almost guarantee you, I wasn't there, but when the temptation came in the garden, and this is, you know, tempter comes in there, go ahead, have a little, and remember, I told you what that fruit was. It's a pomegranate. It's pomegranate. Ever had a pomegranate? Anybody not have a pomegranate before? You're blessed if you haven't had one. A pomegranate is one of the things that will inflict pain upon you trying to get something out of it. Because pomegranates have these little tiny seeds, and the only thing you get out is you suck on the little seeds and, oh, that was good. You got a seed. There isn't even an ounce of, but you do it again and again and again. Eventually, like, whoa! Now they made pomegranate juice. Somebody suffered to get that stuff together. Dear Jesus. But the Lord says, the day you eat of the tree, you're going to die. And here comes the voice of the enemy that created the double mind. You're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to get to the tree because you'll be as wise as he is. You're not going to die. Now, in the next few moments, I hope I can convince you that the Word of God is authentic, it's real, and it's for your protection. Amen. A divided heart and mind will host the lies of the enemy that desire to undermine the power of the Word of God in our lives. All he has to do is put that little suspect in there to cause double-mindedness to occur, and that seed, when it's planted, if we don't rebuke it in the name of Jesus, we will find ourselves on a road we never intended to be on. Now, here's an interesting part about it. There was a bit of truth to what he says. You will not surely die. They're thinking of, you know, drop dead on the spot. No. But there's a death that's even greater than that. It's to be alive, but dead. You're still able to do some of the things you know, but you know that you have separated yourself from God in an area that it didn't have to be that way, and you have to go on living with the memory of what you did that was contradictory to what God told you to do. Some of you are walking dead. Oh my goodness. Because if you'd never entertained or got involved with that situation that God told you not to do, you wouldn't be divorced. Oh, why did I say that? Because it's true. Now I got your attention. Double-minded people live under the illusion that there are options and nothing is really absolutely off limits. There's options. And the world is anything you want it to be. How about that? The distraction that we often face are designed by the enemy of our soul. Can you imagine, just for a moment, and I know it's hard for us to get to grab this, but here's Adam and Eve in the garden, and I don't know what day it was. Could have been the 11th day. It could have been, you know, they'd been there for several years. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. It matters how close you are to believing what you were told initially. And some of us we have a time lapse. That it's a long time ago that this was said, and because it was said a long time ago, we feel like it's lost its effect on our life. Really? That's how we work. And because we haven't heard it in a long time, somehow we feel like, oh, really, it's really not that relevant. Well, the authority of the Word of God, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Remember that song you sing? Jesus said it, I believe, because he said it, and I know. You know, remember that song? You folks are too young. Bunch of young kids in here. The devil will try to convince us that the Word of God does not apply to us in our situation. We will try to convince us that his word is equal in significance to God. And here's the word that comes forth. You shall not surely die. What does that mean? Little nip of pomegranate juice and you fall dead? That's not what happened. The Bible says their eyes were opened to something they never should have experienced. Now, let me help you with that. Some of the selective things that we've done with our double-mindedness when we went to the wrong side were doors we wish we had never opened. Somebody, just say amen. Don't raise your hand. Just say amen. You wish you'd never gone there. But you can't go back because you've been there. But don't sit in condemnation, because this message has a great ending, and I want to tell you about that. Well, a double-minded person is always torn between two directions. The person's initial relationship with Christ is conflicted with worldly, you know, obsessions. And the word natural, I think, has taken on a whole new meaning. It's only natural that you feel this way. It's only natural that you're attracted to those particular things. Because consider all the other options that are around you. It's only natural that you have feelings for someone else's husband. It's only natural. It's only natural that you're dissatisfied with your wife. It's only natural. It happens all the time. Don't panic. No, run. Natural will get you in the wrong place. Well, trying to keep one's focus is like attempting to watch two events at the same time. I want to help you double taskers get deliverance. Or, I'm a multitasker. I can watch TV and I can be playing on my computer and I can do something. I can do all these different things. And you know something? I looked it up. I found out psychologically that is the biggest lie you'll ever receive. Matter of fact, I'll give you some percentages. When you double task, as you call it, or multitask, your percentage of being able to comprehend things at the very highest is 40%. Instead of being 100% focused on what you're doing, and you try to do two things, you drop it down to 40. That's less than half. Tell me where the gain is. Well, it's the fact that the book's open and the TV's on and these different things, and I'm doing all of them at the same time. You are delusional. And you aren't that smart. Oh, I really admire her. She's able to do all this. She gets all these different things done. Yeah, at a 40% rate. Do you want to be a 40%? How about 100? In order for us to be 100%, we've got to be totally focused on what God's word says. Not just say, take a little, you know, a little dabble, do you? Remember Brill Cream? I know that was before your day, too. Hey. I couldn't use Brill Cream now anyway. Ain't nothing to put it on. But you can't have a little dab of Jesus every day. You need to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit through his word. But, you know, a double-minded person, well, I'll just take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I'll come up with something. Wow, the crop that you've created is quite something. Bless you. Here's what happens. It causes us to lose focus, this double-mindedness, and reality as to what is really the most important thing in our life. When you got two things in front of you, which one wins? Well, I'm just doing both of them, and they both win. No, they don't. Double-mindedness will circumvent the Holy Spirit's desire for us to totally surrender to Jesus. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 17 and verse 23. Do verse 17 first. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and the house divided against a house falls. Do you know who said that? Jesus. Do you think he might be right?
Well, I guess there's some plausibility in that. I know some people are like that, but I'm different.
You are delusional. Because look what he says. He says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. I want to tell you right now, some of you listening to this message right now, you are someplace else. Oh, you've been there and back several times. I couldn't tell you where it was. You know, maybe you're enjoying a hamburger at you know, I don't know, the Red Bird. Right down the street. We're making reservations in your mind. Because they're not giving you cookies afterwards. I know how you are. Some of you are still mad because you ain't getting no cookies. Well, let me help you with this. With your divided mindset, you'll never get what God has for you because you can't leave, come and go, and come and go, and come and go. And I'm going to help you to show you how to stay focused. But Jesus says this, we'll get to the last one. It says, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Whoa! There's no such thing as being in between. Would you marry someone who was kind of in between? Well, you know, I'm really struggling between you and her. I mean, you're about 65, she's 35 at this moment. Check back with me later. I mean, will 65 work for you? But some of you even signed on to that. Let me get you to the place where I need to tell you. Divided heart. We'll focus on things that we left behind in the world that we still have an affinity for. I know why we don't like this particular word. It's because you may be in church today, but your mind, maybe yesterday, was saying, if I didn't go to church, you know where I'd be? I'd be out there, you know, with my partner, with my sidekick. But I love Jesus, and I'm going to church in the morning. That little visit you took to the back to the party day or whatever you were into is double-mindedness. And if you think that you won over yourself as far as that's concerned, you know what Jesus wants to deliver you from is the fact of you that you still want to go. And it's a plausibility issue. Well, our thought life can cause us to entertain compromise of our convictions to satisfy our flesh. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, says, double-mindedness opens the gate to spiritual compromise resulting in sin. James 4, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Where do the wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? It's a constant combating, and we want to blame the internet for it. You know something? Internet is not the problem. It's the person who turns on the computer. Your cell phone is not the problem. It's the time when you press the button and you let it, you know, boot up, and all of a sudden you're just fascinated and you spend all this time going from one page to the next. Do not blame the object. There's a decision that you made to turn it on. I'm not feeling any love today. Let's move a little further. You lust and do not have. This next line here, it'll probably devastate you. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. That word murder is not necessarily the fact that you took a gun and shot somebody. But the idea of murder is you entertain things that might as well result in murder, because there's certain things that get into your spirit that you I wish she was dead. She doesn't deserve to live. Because if she wasn't in the way, then I could have him. Well, glory to God. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Do you know why you don't have what you asked for? Because you know you don't deserve it and you shouldn't have it in the first place. There's some things you dare not ask for, but in your double-minded philosophy, you know, if all the competition drops out of the way, this is what God meant for me to have. What? Wow. You ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That verse there has a lot of impact on me and on you. You ask and do not receive because you ask, and the word amiss is with wrong motivation. Let me look you in the eye and tell you, it's not supposed to be. But you're trying to, if I ask enough, he'll let it be. If I hammer at God enough, he'll finally just, you know, he'll give in. I've told you this before. Grandma used to do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go right ahead and do it. Go ahead. You know, that was not permission. That was just a reflection of your hard-heartedness. And he says, and she said, go ahead. You're not going to like it, baby. But you just go right ahead. Grab yourself a handful. Oh, well, let's go to verse 4. Verse 4 has got something for you. Verse 4. Go to the next page. I think you got it there. Oh, yeah. Oh, do you like that part? Adulterers and adulteresses. That means guys and gals. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever there wants to be a friend of the world makes himself, read the rest of that. Wow. It goes back to the scripture where Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. My prayer is that every person in this room, before, as I dismiss today, will be 100% with Jesus and zero for the world. That's the only way it'll work. Then the last little verse that we have in there, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do we do that? Well, the war tactics of the enemy are rooted in the desires of the flesh. And we lust after the things that we think will bring us fulfillment. Somebody say amen. Amen. I used this acrostic several years ago. I brought it back for this reason. Lust, L-U-S-T. Number one, think about lust is L, letting, permitting, allowing. You know you shouldn't. But when you open the door to certain things, you're expecting a different result. Oh, I'm strong enough to handle it. I'm going to go out with my friends. I'm not going to get involved. I know they all smoke weed. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to have me a Coke. Diet Coke. No ice. Really? Let me move on. You, uncontrolled. Uncontrolled means out of control. Or you tried to master it and it didn't work. Because you're double-minded. Because, oh, Lord, just hold me and take, oh, Lord, just free me. I mean, make up your mind. S. Senses. The part of you as a human being, every sense that you have, God knows he gave it to you. But your double-mindedness can cause you to get into this confused area. Confused only because you haven't made up your mind. And the last T, trap you. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. But that wasn't the fact to tell you, that was not an invitation for you to lie to yourself. I'm strong, I can handle it. It's not a problem, not a big deal. I believe God really wants to liberate us and set us free. You know, the Spirit-led Christian resists compromise and focuses on the power and binding force of statutes of the Word of God. I think we need to focus on the power and the binding forces of the Lord, that of the things he wants to do in our life. I'm going to skip a whole section because it was kind of an illustration, but I want to get to the real heart of how we're going to do this, how we're going to rid ourselves of double-mindedness. So Sheila, I'm going into the last section. We're talking about double-mindedness is not an incurable condition. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. I'm leaving the whole section out because I think the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you these last things. We're for the, anybody for the cure? Here we go. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does take up a reproach against his friend. Go on to verse 4. And 5, okay. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. We're going to really visit that one in just a second. He does not put on out his money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall, read that word. I want to give you the remedy for double-mindedness. Years ago, I took this particular passage of scripture, and the Lord says, he says, if you will allow this to be digested in your spirit, he says, you'll be able to abide in my presence. Because the question is, he says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who is invited into your presence and never asked to leave? This is the person. And the person that is invited in his presence will not have a double-minded spirit because he has a focus upon the things that are real that God desires in your heart. I want you just to do something this week, if you will. Take Psalm 15 and read it through a few times. It only takes you, probably takes you less than 3 minutes. Matter of fact, probably a minute and a half. But take the heart of what it says, and I'm gonna just cue a few things in there that will help you, and we're gonna close the service with some delegation from the Lord. First thing is this. If you want to be free of double-mindedness, walk uprightly. Decide you're gonna walk upright. Decide today, you know what? No more half-stepping. You say, what's a half-step? That means you've got one step going this way and one going that way. And you know where you get? Nowhere. You need to get both of them going the same direction. Isn't that amazing? You can't be going this way and that way. Make up your mind. Go to the right, go to the left, but go somewhere with God. Walk uprightly. Number two, live righteously. Now notice I just say, don't be self-righteous, live righteously. That's what we're studying in the Word of God, is how we can live righteously. Who's gonna abide in your tabernacle? Who's gonna dwell on your holy hill? The people who do these things. Third thing is speak the truth. The word actually says this, he who speaks the truth in his heart. If the truth is nestled in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth, it'll come out of your actions, it'll come out of everything you're doing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. If you want to find people in your life that aren't doing any good, listen to what comes out of their mouth. Oops, my bad. Yeah, you're bad. You are bad. Oh, no, believe me. Number four, he who treats your neighbor right. Number five, those who honor those who fear the Lord. I believe in the household of faith, we should give honor and preference to those who are fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we honor them. And one of the way we honor them is that we encourage them in their walk with Jesus. You know, there's times I'm sitting at home and the Lord will tell me, he says, you know what? And I admit that I'm using technology to my advantage that it will expand the kingdom of God. God says, send them a text that they're on your mind and you appreciate who they are and just bless them. That's a good way to use your cell phone. Instead of getting on the psychic hotline. I wonder what God has for me. Let me just call Mama Levi and see what she got, if she got a word for me. Now, some of you laughing, but there are some people in this room that will go to the psychic hotline before they'll go to Jesus. Amen. Let me leave it alone. Oh, it's already out there. Don't matter. Okay. How about this one? Make promises and keep them. You promise breakers. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. Wait a minute. We're promise breakers. Unreliable, that's what you are. So, never mind. Moving on. He who embraces the spirit of generosity toward everyone. Whew. I'm 5 minutes over. I just got two last things to say. and I'm done. So, every person in this room is one decision away from a totally different life. What? Because this double-minded message has touched you in any way, you're one decision away from changing the rest of your life. The first thing you've got to admit is, you know what, Pastor? That's me. Not that's her, that's me. Not that's them, that's me. You're one decision away from that. Pastor Paul will be up here in just a minute. He'll give you some music to help your conscience. But here's the part I need to tell you. And listen to me carefully as I say this. God can forgive you and forgive every bad decision that you have made through double-mindedness. In other words, you're not locked into this idea that, the decisions I made in double-mindedness, those are the curses that will be on my life forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Because I want to get into your spirit right now. If you don't have to move around, don't move. I want you to answer a question that only you can answer. What are the things that you have in your spirit that linger toward a double-minded attitude toward things of the kingdom of God? What's the hang-up? Because remember, I just told you, God can forgive every decision that you've made because of double-mindedness and will install in your heart the spirit of Psalm 15, that you can abide in his presence as you subscribe to the things of the kingdom of God. I'm going to pray. And I believe there are people, and I'm really not really concerned how long you've been a believer, or maybe if this is your day to come to Jesus. But double-mindedness is not isolated to just unsaved people. The Bible says a double-minded man or woman leads themselves to instability in every way. Because you don't even know what your next move is going to be made. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in humble submission to you that I would come to the resolve today that I no longer have to live and halt between two opinions, that your word of God will have the final authority over my life, and the double-mindedness that I've entertained before, I don't have to subscribe to that ever again. Lord, the story I was going to tell them about Elijah and halting between two opinions and the people, and you answered by fire and you affirmed the fact that you're the God who answers by fire, and you came down from heaven and you consumed the sacrifice and everybody cried out, this is God. Lord, I pray that the fire of your Holy Spirit would descend upon people's hearts today, that would burn away all of the dross, would burn away all the excuses, and they would come before you today and say, Lord, I want the double-mindedness in my spirit destroyed today, and I'm willing to yield it over to you. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Stand up. You're done doing the double-minded thing. You're done. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Stand up right now. If you want to stay in that complacency, go ahead. But I want to tell you, it won't serve you well. If you want that double-mindedness out of your spirit, this is the last time I'm going to say it. If you want it to happen, stand up right now. Let's break the curse off your life. Let's break that attitude out of you. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. And God is going to do something in your life today. He's going to do it. Just remain standing for a moment before I invite you forward. I want you to stand there just for a minute. And I want you to not just imagine, but for you to forecast in your spirit that my life from this day forward is going to be different. That I'm going to rely upon the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask God first. And if God says no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pretend like I got freedom from God, but I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me. I want everyone else to stand. You folks that are standing right now, come to the altar right now. Come right now. Come. In Jesus' name, come. Come right now. Come. In the name of Jesus. Come right now. Don't you wait another minute. Come on. Don't wait another minute. Come on. Keep applauding the Lord, what the Lord's doing. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Everyone, lift your hands right now, and we're going to pray God's blessing over those who've responded and also for his cleansing power to be in us today. Lord Jesus, double-mindedness, the curse thereof, need not be something that holds us back from you. Lord, we believe your word as being absolutely true. It's filled with life, it's filled with hope, it's filled with joy, it's filled with peace. And Lord, from this day forward, we covenant before you, we will no longer question your authority, but we'll rely upon it, and we'll trust you to do great things in us. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power, for your wisdom, for your authority. We come before you today and believing that you're going to do great things in us, and we'll share the word with others that need to know that there's freedom in the name of Jesus. Everything we've done double-minded before, we can leave it behind us. We don't have to be haunted by it. We can move forward in the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.